forgotten that once we were brought here, we were robbed of our name, robbed of our language. We lost our religion, our culture, our God. And many of us, by the way we act, we even lost our minds.
Welcome back to Field Your Passion Sports Update. I'm sports fan Kevin White. And alongside me today, I have Howard University's dual sport coach, director of swimming and diving, and director of tennis, Coach Nicholas Askew. Thank you for joining me today, Coach Askew. One, I'd just like to ask, how are things coming for you as far as this COVID? How are you dealing with it?
Yeah, Kevin, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to having a great conversation with you here on Field Your Passion. And, you know, quite honestly, we're dealing with it day to day. This is a really difficult time for everybody involved, especially our student athletes, because, you know, working through their expectations of what the college experience is supposed to be like and what the season is supposed to be like and their athletic pursuits are supposed to be like. We're just trying to take everything day to day, you know, listen to the updates of information that we're getting and trying to plan accordingly. Most important to us right now is making sure that our team stays connected and engaged. And so we're meeting virtually on a regular basis because there's none of our athletes, at least, are on campus at this time, because the university is non-residential, meaning there's no one in our dorms or on our campus right now. All of the classes are online. We're just trying to stay connected and engaged. The team is working out on their own right now. We're trying to just make sure that we help be supportive of what they're doing. And, you know, the additional kind of item that we're being ever so cautious to be mindful of is where they are mentally. Trying to keep them upbeat and positive and optimistic about how things are going to continue to unroll, with the mindset of knowing that things will be different. And that's a tough challenge for us, but we've got a great coaching staff. We've got an amazing athletic administration staff that's been very supportive of helping us, you know, talk to our athletes on a regular basis and helping guide how we should be addressing, you know, what we're going through.
Yeah. Now, with swimming and individuals getting into, you know, the pool, do any of your students have a issue with that, you know, coming back and with the COVID? Do you have some that's like, you know, I don't know if I want to do that because of COVID?
Yeah. And you know, we work through that on an individual basis. We have told everyone, if you're not comfortable in the situation at the point when we're going to be returning to campus, then it's absolutely okay at this point to, you know, essentially what, you know, you're calling opt out, you know, stay behind, stay in a safer environment. Our goal is to let them know everything that we're doing in terms of protocols and safety procedures and what the university, as well as the city of Washington, D.C., and the local government are doing to help be able to provide a safe environment and manage the outbreaks, if anything at all, as best as possible. But of course, you know, there are athletes and their families that say, hey, you know, we're not quite ready, and we're okay, and that's fine. You know, I wouldn't want to put anyone in that situation, you know, that we were saying that would make it mandatory or anything like that, you know, knowing how dangerous the spread of this virus is and the effects that it could potentially have. We do certainly have student athletes that are, basically saying, I'm not ready yet. And again, you know, we support their decision.
Stay tuned for more Field Your Passion. Welcome back to Field Your Passion. Normally your season starts in August. Last year, with March being when COVID really kind of shut everything down, you went through most of your season, but you guys didn't get a chance to go to the championship because of COVID, or?
We basically got through probably, I would say, about 98% of our season. We were able to get through conference championships. We had an amazing conference championship. So proud of our team, posting so many personal bests, breaking so many records last year, having our NCAA qualifier. It was a really, really strong season for us. And then we had so many individuals who qualified for the National Invitational Championship, which was held in Cleveland, Ohio, And that's really when COVID had the biggest effect on last year's season, because we traveled to Cleveland. We got there, we warmed up and everything. We obviously knew things were going on and we were paying attention to the news. Mm-hmm. We got to swim one day. We got to compete one day. Wow. At championships, and then they shut everything down and they called everybody back. All the teams had to, you know, make arrangements to get back to their point of origin for the university. And let me tell you, that was a very interesting, tricky time, you know, because being able to compete on the national stage is huge. So our team, and that's what we work towards so hard, is to be able to have so many people out there competing against, you know, some of the nation's best swimmers. And we had the most that we've ever had or ever taken to the National Invitational Championship, in a total of 13. And we were just feeling really good about how they were going to perform. And to have to break the news to them, let me tell you, my heart rate was through the roof, because I felt for them. I was nervous, but it was the right thing to do. And that's really what we stood on, is, hey, you know, sometimes life is just going to give you some really difficult, you know, moments, and you've got to do the best you can in those moments to, you know, to work through them. And you know, we ended up having to drive back, and it was crazy. And I have this, you know, very just elaborate memory of that driving and just kind of looking over the team, seeing how sad they were, but yet how beautiful a moment it was that we were going through it together and traveling down the highway, and you know, knowing that this is still a swim and dive family, you know, despite, you know, the onset of the virus and the emergency of having to get back home.
With that happening and then not having a chance to compete this season or at this moment, how does that affect the scholarships of those, you know, that either, because you had, you know, went through 95% last year, I'm sure if they were a senior, they probably wouldn't be able to return. But for those this year, and if they decide to opt out, would they have a chance, you know, 2021, 2022 season?
Yeah, it scholarships at this, for this particular season, are going to go unaffected no matter what, no matter what their decision is to compete or to opt out or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Moving forward, you know, quite honestly, I don't know how it's going to get managed, because, you know, it's definitely having a significant effect on the budget. So, you know, I can imagine that there are going to be some institutions. I don't know what each one is going to be able to do in terms of being offering the same amount of scholarships they've already offered. I mean, you take a look at kind of the climate now, and so many schools, a good number of programs in swimming and diving and other sports have been shut down. And what they're citing is, you know, COVID-19 is being, you know, the biggest reason, and that revenue loss. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best. I know Howard University in particular has done a great job of continuing, you know, to support everyone within the Howard University community, including our athletics department. So I'm hoping that that can continue. But obviously, you know, we're going to need continue to, you know, lean on the support of our alumni and other supporters to be able to help continue to get us through, you know, this tough time financially. But you know, in terms of eligibility, for this year, you know, if one of the swimmers decides that, hey, you know, I think I need to redshirt because, you know, it just doesn't look like we're going to have much of a season at all, then, you know, we'll take that on as a case-by-case basis. You know, we'll listen to, you know, each individual and what they think is really best for them. Because at the end of the day, you know, we want everyone to have a great experience, you know, as much as we can control, obviously, you know, we can't control COVID-19 and the numbers and everything. But to a certain extent, outside of, you know, doing what we need to do individually, wear a mask, wash our hands, stay socially distanced. You know, we want every student athlete to have the best experience that we possibly can provide for them.
Stay tuned for more of Field Your Passion. Welcome back to Field Your Passion. Howard is the only historically black college and university that's a part of the NCAA Division I swimming and diving team. How does that make you feel, being that you are an alumni of, you know, Howard, and you were a dual sport? Congratulations on that. And, you know, one of my questions too is going to be after that was, how was that for you being a dual, you know, a dual sport in tennis and swimming?
Yeah, I guess, you know, the first thing is to talk about just how it was for me. You know, it was an amazing, amazing experience. I was recruited for both sports, but I was most recruited for swimming and diving. And okay. I knew I wanted to swim as growing up. I knew I wanted to swim for a Division I historically black college or university. And at that time, there were only three male teams that had men. It was us and Florida A&M. Yeah. And had a great visit, Florida A&M, but you know, Howard just really stuck out to me, and I knew that was a place for me. And when I got on campus, I was surrounded by black excellence never really had seen that before. So many people of color, black, brown, and every color in between, you know, in an academic environment that all were striving for success.
Right.
And it was amazing, you know, to say the least. And I got a chance to try out and walk on to the tennis team. And, you know, by my junior year, I was on full scholarship, half from swimming and half from tennis. And let me tell you, it was super busy. Yeah. It was super tough. But I enjoyed every moment. I actually, you know, will proclaim to anyone that being a dual sport athlete is one of the reasons why I was able to really manage my time the best that I did, mm-hmm. because I really didn't have any free time.
You know, right.
I didn't have any time to get into any major trouble.
Right.
You know, a few minor things, but that's a different podcast.
Right. Right.
But you know, I really didn't have any major, you know, time to do, you know, much else than to train, compete, mm-hmm. study. You know, and that's really it. And that was what was needed for me to be able to be successful. And I appreciate the opportunities that, you know, my swimming coach at that time was Dr. Newton Jackson, and my tennis coach at that time was Coach Larry Strickland. And they gave me that opportunity. They worked together because, you know, you don't necessarily see that dual sport in the same year scenario working out. And that's swimming, right. and tennis, there is some overlap. So okay. either one of the coaches could have easily said, you know, nope, you gotta
right,
make a decision.
Here. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. But they understood how important it was to me. I think I would like to say that they, you know, they valued my contributions to both teams. So they were willing to, you know, to take the risk of me being able to do both. And quite honestly, I think they complemented each other. The two sports really did. So, I've had lifelong friends from both programs that I talk to on a regular basis. And I appreciate, you know, all those experiences, you know, in the respect of Howard being the only HBCU that has a Division I swimming and diving team. You know, it's a little lonely, you know. I really wish that more HBCUs would highly consider what a value having a swimming and diving program is on their campus and a part of the institution. We're very lucky, just announced not too long ago, I think it's about a month ago now, that Bluefield State will actually be, which is Division II, will actually be starting a swim program, a men's and women's program next season. So 21-22. So extremely happy about that. So now we won't be the only HBCU. Right. And we're, you know, we really, really hope that we can be supportive of their efforts and starting their program off and continuing their program, because at the end of the day, I think it can work at a lot of other HBCU's campuses and provide such an amazing opportunity. And again, you know, what our program really talks about a lot about is how important swimming as a life skill is to our African-American, our black community.
Right.
Because you look at the statistics, there only 65% of African-Americans, 65% of African-Americans have limited or no swimming ability. Mm-hmm. That is an astounding figure, and it's something that we can do a different, you know, we can make a difference in. Mm-hmm. And one of those differences is being able to have the exposure of an HBCU swimming and diving program being out there, that imagery, you know, that representation does matter. We've seen the difference that it makes when we're traveling and we see young boys and girls of color seeing us, and immediately they think, oh, that must be the basketball team.
Right. Or the track team.
Exactly. You know, because we're traveling deep.
Yeah.
But they read, or, you know, they ask one of us, and, you know, what do you do? And we say, you know, we swim. And like, oh, wow. We've seen the difference it makes when we go to the YMCAs or we go to these other facilities, and they see our team. And we are the only team in all of NCAA that looks like us and is comprised like us. So that imagery, I think, can be a very big advantage for, you know, the youth and even the adults to take part in swimming. And it would be great to have other HBCUs that do that, if not for just their own purposes of competing, but for the broader picture.
Stay tuned for more Field to Passion. Welcome back to Field to Passion. Welcome back to
It's given us a lot more time to really engage with our prospects. We've had, obviously, because everything we do is virtual. I'm not on the pool deck. We're not training our athletes in any capacity in person. So it's given me a lot more time to really dig, get beyond the surface level of talking to our prospects. And that's huge, because character really is important for our programs. We want to make sure that we get the right fit, and we want to also make sure that we are the right fit for the prospect. And having these, you know, more frequent, more in-depth conversations allows us to be even more particular about, you know, who we're going to sign or bring in or offer a roster spot. So it's definitely, you know, played in our advantage in that aspect. But the negative side of it is the fact that we're not able to see them train or compete because of the NCAA dead period. So we can't, you know, go and see them, you know, at the pool and training. Even if we weren't in a dead period, it's, you know, there's such a high likelihood that they would be in an area where there is no training or competing, because they don't have access to the pools. You know, the other factor is, when you're looking at the big advantage that we have, I know we have at Howard, and I'm sure other schools do too, but I'm going to talk about Howard.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Is when you have that recruit come to campus. And it's when you come to Howard's campus, there's such a different energy and vibe that's on campus that normally, when our prospects come to campus and they sense that, you know, that's one of the biggest selling tools, because it's really not about the buildings, you know, and the architectural design and the layout of campus. At least in my mind, it's really about the people that make Howard University. It's really about the people who previously walked, you know, on the yard or previously walked through the halls, and the current student, faculty, and staff that are walking the yard and walking those halls. That's the energy that really is the big, you know, big seller, you know, for the university. And you can't get that by showing pictures, you know. You can't really get it from showing the videos. So, you know, it definitely has had its negative effect on that. But we try to articulate that as best we can through, you know, having these conversations as much as possible. But, you know, I think it does hurt.
Being that you coach tennis and you also – coach swimming and diving, which one do you like more, or is either one your favorite sport?
You know, I'm sure everyone thinks that I have a favorite, or I play favorite to anyone. I don't. I've never been in a position where I've had to choose between the two. All throughout my really, you know, competitive career and through my coaching career, I've had the blessing to be able to do both in some capacity. And I haven't taken a position where I had to choose. You know, there are things that I love about tennis that I don't get from swimming. And there are things about swimming and diving that I can't get from tennis. So it really is 50-50 for my mind. And then, you know, I think I have a really good ability to kind of, you know, compartmentalize. When I'm on the tennis court, I'm focused on, you know, tennis, and it's like that switch just turns. And when I'm on the pool deck, you know, with swimming and diving, it's the same thing. But overall, it's really about, you know, for me, for coaching, it's about the relationships that I have with my student athletes and, you know, those that I'm working with, because I think at the end of the day, I can know everything there is to know about either the two sports or any other sport for that matter.
Right.
If I can't connect, and if I don't have a solid relationship, or at least working on building solid relationships with our student athletes, you know, I wouldn't be successful as a coach. And I don't think any coach could be successful. There's only but so far your name and, you know, your knowledge of the sport is going to take you. You've got to be able to, you know, to really have that connection with who you're working with, to be able to get, you know, impart that knowledge and get them to do what they don't even think they can do.
That's true. That sounds like a great coach, actually. Someone I would love, you know, coaching me, just pull the best, you know, out of me. So do you have any advice for someone that's looking to go into coaching on the level that where you are at this moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big proponent of coaching trees. I think you need to, whatever sport that you're in, you need to try to surround yourself with other coaches, you know, coaches that are doing it at a higher level than yourself. You need to surround yourself. If you can't surround yourself, you know, with that, then you need to be a student of the game. You need to be studying, you know, see who's doing well in any capacity, whether it be collegiate, age group, you know, whatever, professional, you know, and study what they're doing. I have really worked hard in my coaching career to be able to bring more people along with me, you know, and help, you know, help them navigate what their coaching career, you know, what they want their coaching career to look like. So, you know, yeah, my biggest advice is try to surround yourself and try to, you know, get yourself into some, into opportunities where you can be mentored by some of the top coaches, and at the very least continue to study, you know, what the coaches that are doing and performing at in whatever respect at the highest level.
Stay tuned for more Field Your Passion. Welcome back to Field Your Passion. I would love to have you back on at a later time, especially when tennis starts getting into play. So you guys will be doing that in the spring, is that correct?
Yeah, as of right now, our dual match season will start in the spring. We're looking at starting competitions as early as late February, which is you know, pretty later than normal years. But again, that's our championship season, and we're looking to have them be able to get on the court in mid to late January with the school reopening, hopefully, and, you know, and starting the competitions then. And I appreciate that. I would love to be able to come back.
Thank you.
This is Field of Passion.